It might seem easy to you for me and Eric to come up with sermon topics each week, but sometimes it's a little bit harder. And so last week I said to Alistair, you know, what would you really like to sing? And he mentioned this song, and I said, great, that's the text for this Sunday sermon. And it was a very interesting process of getting from the text to the sermon, so thanks. I should also add, I see some younger professionals and so on in the audience right now. We are meeting young professionals, graduate school students, at the Duke of Kent Bar on Wednesday nights at 8:30. There's a bunch of us who come and we talk about interesting things. It's called Pub Theology. And so if anyone in the choir or anyone in the audience wants to come along and do some pub theology with us, we'll see you 8:30, Duke of Kent. I know a story about growing old that both makes me smile and makes me a little bit sad. This story is told by the American folk poet Tsitsi Bunning, who I've mentioned here once or twice before. He's writing about what it was like to grow up in a Dutch immigrant community in rural Iowa just before the Second World War, during the Depression. Anyway, Tsitsi tells us that it was opa, opa is the Dutch word for grandpa. Tsitsi tells us that it was Opa Evert's 80th birthday. A celebration was called for. Unfortunately, since Opa Evert's family was bringing in the hay back at the farm, not even one of Opa's children was available to go to the nursing home to visit him on his birthday. It was a problem. So Sietze's dad, Opa Evert's son, sent young Tsitsi, his grandson, only 10 years old, to town. And Tsitsi was told, you have to go to the Christian bookstore, Hessel's bookstore, and you have to buy a book for Opa Evert, and it should be a Dutch book, because he likes to read, and he likes to read Dutch best of all, the language of his youth. So little 10-year-old Tsitsi goes to the bookstore, and he looks for a Dutch book, and he sees only 3 Dutch books on the shelf. Well, and of course, little Tsitsi didn't know any Dutch himself. So Tsitsi picked one of the 3 books to bring to his opa, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo. He had the book wrapped, brought it over to old Opa Evert's nursing home, and then he hurried back to the farm to help finish with the hay. The next day, Uncle Evert returned the book to Tsitsi's parents by mail, along with a note. Opa Evert said that he appreciated the thought, given his 80th birthday and all, but he was returning the book all the same. You see, he wrote, at 80 years old, he just wasn't that interested anymore in reading a book with the title translated into English, the title, A Theological Exposition of the Marriage Vows. And then in his note, Opa Evert also asked if there was any connection between the book on marriage vows and the song his family had arranged to be sung for him on the local radio, Yield Not to Temptation. We all of us grow old. How do you like it so far? How will you do it, this growing old, other than inevitably? You know, our scripture reading paints a lovely picture of what old age should be like, a picture much more encouraging than the story of Opa Evert. The prophet Zechariah is writing a letter to Jews who had returned to the promised land after living in exile for 70 years in Babylon. These returned Jews found the city of their parents and grandparents. They found it in ruins. It was burnt to the ground, the brickwork smashed and torn down, not one block sitting on another. When Zechariah wrote, the returning Jews had begun to rebuild Jerusalem's walls and her temple, but the building program had ground to a halt. Because, well, let's just be honest, those returned Jews, they were too few, they were too poor to do much more than eke out a meager living among the ruins. They were all tuckered out. So Zechariah wrote a letter to these Jews. We read just a little short piece of it today, but it was a letter full of threats and promises, carrots and sticks. It was a letter aimed at getting the Jerusalem rebuilding program back on track. Chapter 8, which we just heard read, is a carrot chapter. It's a chapter full of promises. If you do this good stuff, look at what will happen. In it, Zechariah promises that God will help these exiles rebuild Jerusalem. And says Zechariah, it's going to be a beautiful, lovely new Jerusalem where boys and girls will be playing in the streets outside of a lovely new temple. And says Zechariah, this new Jerusalem is going to be filled with, quote, men and women of ripe old age who will sit in the streets, each with a cane because of his or her age. In Zechariah's New Jerusalem, happy elderly people are at the center of the things, sitting right there in the streets at the city gate where they offer advice, where they love the children, where they are honored and listened to by everyone who passes by. So our world has changed and no one sits by the city gate anymore, if you could find it. But still, Zechariah's vision for what it means to be elderly is actually quite fetching, I think. The elderly of Jerusalem rule with justice and compassion. They set the city's direction. What is more, this picture of what it means to be elderly is an ideal that you find all through the Old Testament, over and over again. In the Bible, the elderly are always precious, not in the sense that they're collectibles to be stored in a nursing home, like hidden treasures. No, in the Bible, the elderly are precious because they stand in for God. The elderly are God's ambassadors. They're God's surrogates. They're God's foremen and forewomen. Let me explain how this works. The best way to think of it, I think, is to remind yourself of the fifth of the Ten Commandments, the one that says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. The Hebrew word for honor here is kabod. Kabod is usually translated into the English with the word glory. The root of the word kabod in Hebrew means something like weightiness. And mostly this word is used to describe God, as in the words, the kabod of God, the glory of God. That's the word. And it's the same in the New Testament, translated into Greek, and I won't get into all that. But for example, in John 17, Jesus prays, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had before the world began. Kabod is usually translated divine glory. But it's the same word used in the fifth commandment, translated here, honor. Give glory to your parents, it means. So in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, parents have kabod too, because to the Jewish way of thinking, parents are God's glorious stand-ins when it comes not only to children, but to the whole population that passes them by on the city streets or under the city gates. To honor or glorify your parents means we should respect them as people who carry a great deal of weight in our lives, just as God should carry a great deal of weight in the cosmos. To glorify our parents is to put them at the center of our lives rather than on the fringes. But not only do parents have this divine kabod, according to the Jews, all the elderly have it. So that's why the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, for example, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort that older man as if he was your father, and treat older women as mothers. Give them kabod. Zechariah dreams of a new Jerusalem where the elderly have taken the seats of honor in the street, and the elderly are there to offer encouragement, advice, direction, and ultimately the elderly are there to offer moral and strategic leadership to the people. The elderly are at the center of all things in the New Jerusalem. Unfortunately, our society only rarely honors the elderly as if they somehow had the glory of God above. Instead, what we usually do in our society is create little pockets of age-related isolation called marketing niches. And niches are artificially isolated from each other by the media's suggestion about what each niche should want and value and how people in each niche should live. Modern media, you know, television, music, web, they all insist that we will find the happiness we crave if we religiously stick to the priorities of our specific niche. So advertisers tell young people to drive, you know, a certain kind of sport coupe, to wear stylish sabato shoes, to buy certain kinds of beer and drink them on the beach. I mean, when was the last time you saw an ad full of 70-somethings sitting on the beach round a fire guzzling Labatt's? Doesn't happen. But the elderly are marketed to as well, except that the elderly are told to buy walk-in bathtubs, Buicks, they're told to take out reverse mortgages if necessary, and of course, pop little purple pills. It's almost as if media culture is selling us a world where the different niches have nothing in common, nothing to do with each other, where they all want their own separate thing that has no relation to what others want. And over time, we, the audience, we slowly internalize these messages and start living them in our own life, often without even reflecting on it. And so the elderly are marginalized while the rest of us get on with real life. Now in the song that Alasdair sang, a song really in its own way about aging, the narrator worries that as he, I assume it's a he, the narrator worries that as he grows older, he is going to have less and less opportunity to enjoy the loveliest of trees, the cherry. And so, even at the young age of 20, the narrator is going to go about the woodlands to see the cherry hung with snow. Well, that's nice. That's good so far as that goes. The young, and I think the old, because he says he's going to do it for his whole life, should enjoy life before their strength wanes and they die. But Zechariah suggests quite a bit more for the elderly than just enjoying the scenery. Not only Should we continue to enjoy life in old age? And we should. But the elderly in a perfect world will exercise their kabod, their glory, their weightiness for the well-being of the whole city, the whole country, in fact. And what I think this means is something like this. Old growth people ought to live and act with the confidence that their kabod confers on them. Old growth people can and should get out in the highways and the byways and continue to lead. Old growth people can and should offer counsel and advice. They should be the canopy under which all of society and certainly the church thrives. Old growth people should seize the opportunity not only to enjoy the scenery as in Houseman's poem, but they should seize the initiative. Old people should still dream dreams, lead with courage, and generally show the rest of us, until we are no longer able, how it is done. Look, I know there are potential pitfalls here. You're all thinking, yeah, but. Too many of the elderly in our society, for example, struggle with poverty and just getting by, so much so that they don't have much awareness of their kabod, or they cannot imagine what they would do with it. By the same token, the wealth that many of our elderly enjoy makes it very tempting to focus way too much energy on play and consumption and too little on idealistic pursuits and doing good for society, for a city or a church or charitable institutions. There are pitfalls in Zechariah's vision for the elderly. I mean, just as there is no shortage of kids in short pants acting for all the world like they know best, there is also no shortage of old fools either. Wisdom is a hard commodity to come by at any age. Finally, our society has this idea that the elderly are past their prime and they don't get it, and that they're irrelevant and that they won't grow anymore in stature. It's a myth that's out there, but we all struggle with it and hear it and know it in our bones. Still, all things being equal, the Old Testament Jews recognized that the elderly were among their people's greatest and most important assets. And so should we recognize that. We all grow old. How do you like it so far? How will you do it, this growing older, other than inevitably? Well, what I'd like to see among us New Testament Christians, especially among us old growth type of New Testament Christian, is the courage and the wisdom to seize our kabod and the opportunity, whether at church or home, in politics or the community, to be our society's and the church's greatest asset too. We older folks should enjoy the cherry trees hung with snow, but we also should never cease from planting, cultivating new cherry or apple trees. For we older folks are hung with kabod. Amen.